to you by Grow Generation. Today's episode of the Cantina is, whether on Dagobah or Tatooine you are, everything you need to grow right where you are, they have. Later in the episode, more on them you will hear.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
Hi guys, welcome to the Cantina, the show where we get to talk about everything going on in Star Wars here on LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network and the LRM Online YouTube channel. There we go. Sponsored by those great folks over at Grow Generation, as the voiceover at the beginning said, either the little green guy or the what do we Palpagreen? There you
Emperor
go.
Palpagreen.
Emperor Palpagreen. I can't remember. I keep alternating between them. I am Kyle Malone, one of the hosts here, joined by my co-pilot, one of the other hosts, Cam Clark. What's up, bud?
Hey, nothing much.
Good. Good to hear. I know Cam's video will look a little weird. I am recording his Zoom windows straight to, and kind of got a late start and didn't get to set the crops to just get Cam's video file. So yeah, enjoy that wonderful bit of professionalism there. Oh man, Shockey, well, once again, not joining us this week, but I can let everyone know that he is doing okay, taking care of personal things. Yeah, I could just leave it at that. He's doing okay. Family things going all right as far as we know. And yeah, we just hope that he gets to come back soon. And he's doing things on the website, working in the back end of things. Just can't really dedicate a lot of time to talking on camera for an hour right now, but that's okay. I guess that's it for housekeeping. There's a bunch of social media information down below, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hit subscribe and follow and all that good stuff. I'm going to shut the Jawa in my pocket up. And dude, a lot of Star Wars stuff to actually talk about this week, right? I mean, fuck, man. I know one of the big things everyone's looking forward to, just to, you know, before we get into the stories, of course, November's almost here, you know, just a little over a week away from November, about 3 weeks ish from the Disney Plus Day, right? And mm-hmm. I know a lot of people looking forward to Book of Boba Fett stuff. There's been little things coming out. There's a documentary or feature
Under the Helmet.
Yeah,
it's called. Yeah.
And it's cool, but we've talked a lot about that, and there's been some bigger things that kind of popped up this week, and one of them being the massive deal going on with some Mandalorian season 3 news, some big rumors and an ensemble cast going on, part of our Barside Buzz segment at lrmonline.com. And yeah, Cam, why don't you walk us through, since you wrote this piece up, as I zoom in for everyone.
This is something that came from MSW making Star Wars, and they had got information about a scene that was being put together for The Mandalorian season 3, and they kind of broke it into two sections, which they call the facts and the rumors kind of thing. Now, I suppose we'll get to the rumors part first. We can't obviously call these facts. We just, you know, they're just a rumor as far as we're concerned at the moment. But this definitely sounds, you know, like something we might see in The Mandalorian Season 3 anyway. Ultimately, it says that they're preparing a sequence to film a big scene using up to 75 different Mandalorians in all different suits of armors. They're going to be bringing in sort of fan cosplay, actors, extras.
Like they did with the 501st local 501st filming Mando season 1.
So it seems to try and get a sort of the way the outlet talks about it is to try and get a mix and match of all sorts of stuff, maybe even get them swapping pieces around to make it all look, you know, very different. I suppose that's about it. There's no any kind of detail in the facts section, if you like, about exactly what is going on here, but just some big scene involving all these tons of Mandalorians, which makes sense to me in terms of where we think the story is going of the Mandalorian now that Grogu's at the picture, based on, you know, the little things that started last season, like the Darksaber and Bo-Katan and where that kind of side of things is going. However, what there is, we might as well just bring this up at the same time because it's only a small story in his own, but one Mandalorian we know won't be turning up is Cosca Reeves, which was played by Sasha Banks. She was talking recently and said basically she's not back for season three. So that's one Mandalorian we may not see in season three, but it looks as if we'll get a whole load of no names, if you like, appearing in a massive big scene. Now, in terms of the rumour side of things, this is what Jason Ward of MSW said. While details are still parsed, it sounds like a disparate individual Mandalorians from around the galaxy answer a call Din Djarin sends out to the galaxy for help. Din Djarin's legend is growing. Rumours of a true Mandalore returning is heard throughout the galaxy. When Din makes the call, it's answered by more Mandalorians than you could ever imagine. I don't know, and forgive me if I'm wrong and the outlet themselves weren't intending this, but sometimes I've noticed with this outlet that sometimes Jason can put his own speculations in, and I don't know whether he's talking about his own speculations rather than actual rumours he's heard from someone else about what's going on. This does seem a little bit speculation-based to me. You know, it's probably how I would think this might go down as well, to be perfectly honest with you. It does make sense to me, but I just want to kind of point that out, that we don't know if that's necessarily the case. That could just be speculative. The only kind of part that they seem 100% setting on is that there's going to be this big scene with all these multiple Mandalorians. Presumably, if they are going to be involving cosplay, some local peoples, a lot of extras, there's maybe some casting calls come out for that already. There's maybe been a, you know, and that's maybe where that knowledge is actually coming from. I'm just guessing, is that some people have actually found out about this because they're actually setting it up at the moment. Who knows? What do you think that, Kel?
Well, as far as the facts, it sounds fun. You start wondering, are we seeing an attempt to re-establish, you know, Mandalore? Are we looking at an attack on some facility? You start wondering what this could be because they're looking to do as much as what they're saying. You're thinking this is like the culmination of the season, right? Or potentially a flashback?
I don't know.
But it sounds cool.
Your guess is
cool,
as good as mine.
Right?
I mean, it could be episode one for all, you know. There's no context around it. But
as far as what they're saying, sounds cool.
It feels right. It feels kind of right for season two.
No matter what the purpose of them doing this scene, you and I already said, hey, if Grogu's off, what's the, you know, most logical thing to do? So as far as the facts go, it sounds cool. I like the idea of bringing in fans. But what's more fun to get into, of course, is the speculation side, whether like you said, whether he's throwing in his own speculation or if he's hearing this, I will say one thing about it, and that's the George Lucas's sequel trilogy has been in the news again recently. I guess he made some other comments this year about some of what the sequel trilogy would have included, including Allegedly, I haven't dug into it too much about Maul coming back in his sequel trilogy. So the fact that I all of a sudden see this, it's this. I am also pretty. This is from. I'm reading from. Making Star Wars here. I am pretty sure I saw a few pieces of red armor from Maul's Mandos in the Clone Wars. So that doesn't necessarily mean Maul is coming back, but you do know that they pushed
him. I don't know how they could possibly bring Maul back at this point.
Exactly. But to me, what this is a sign of, like I said, Lucas in the news, what did Maul in the sequels, are we going to see some additional live action Maul lineage story, legend, mythos carrying on, because that's what Lucas wanted? Or and you know how Favreau, the other one,
Dave Filoni.
They thank you. We know how much Filoni likes taking Lucas's ideas and helping them grow, and like he did in the Clone Wars and Rebels. So that to me is interesting. And in here, where he's going, you know, legend growing, Mandalore returning, I kind of can see where that could become, like I said, the final episode's big culminating moment, or the penultimate episode with the siege of Mant, before we move inside of a castle or something for one-on-one combat. I don't know, man. I kind of get that feeling here, and you and I thought going back to season two's reviews, which everyone could check out in happy playlist form wherever you get your podcast or on YouTube channel. You and I thought Mandalore and the idea of taking it was going to be a part of this, right?
It seems to make sense, given that the only kind of seed that we've got going into season three is Bo-Katan, her mission to get the Darksaber, you know, the way she thinks of Boba Fett. You know, these are all the little seeds that I think that are where a season three could go, whereas Grogu feels like a closed door at this point. So, you know, I think if we're looking for seeds, we have to look at the non-Grogu side of where things went in that final or the most recent season, especially towards the end. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good guesswork. We can't say for certain, but that would be the easiest and most logical guess to make based on the evidence we have, I think.
Absolutely. And the cool thing about being done with the Grogu story is now we can get back to some broader subjects. Like whenever you bring in the Force and Jedi, It always narrows the scope, especially if there's a Skywalker still alive. And getting rid of Grogu kind of makes me happy for season three, regardless of the fact that it's, you know, we know we're going to be getting a bunch of stuff from, or not know, but assume, some we know, getting stuff related to Rebels or Clone Wars still, but I don't know, Matt. Are you happy the Grogu thing's done for now?
Yes, because, you know, it kind of had its... It was like almost like a two-season arc, if you like. And this may not be the way Mandalorian goes, but I kind of feel as if the seeds were sown for a new sort of couple of season arc or one season arc that's going to play out as well, or it could be, bear in mind that there's this now tapestry of shows that are all interlinked to each other. You know, could there be some series that isn't The Mandalorian, isn't Ahsoka, you know, it's called something else, which brings all this into one sort of climax together? That's possible, or even a movie. I mean, as possible as well. But we don't know where it's going. But that's where all we can look at is what looks to be the next steps of that journey, and that's where it appears as if we're going at the moment.
I guess just to touch on it, you know, real quick before we move on from Mando's season three, the Casca Reeves story, her not returning. She was being asked and had fans constantly, you know, talking about the character and stuff. And in an interview with Bleacher Report, she says, first of all, thanks for trying to get that out, but I'm not on next season. But it was incredible being on The Mandalorian on Star Wars. She praises the project. She goes on to say projection of that show was overwhelming. I legit felt like I was in a galaxy so far, far away. I felt like I was on a different planet. And at the very, very end, she says, I'm so excited for the fans, and I can't wait for my fans to see what's next, talking about her career and other things she's got going on in Hollywood. Partly might be in thanks to some exposure via Star Wars. I don't remember clearly, but was there any controversy with her last year at all? I don't remember.
No. Okay. I mean, we all thought some people thought I was one of them. That she might be playing Sabine Wren.
We thought that was a possibility, yeah.
And then we found out she was playing Casca Reeves, which is a lot less big, you know, of a big character.
Big to do.
More of just a background character. And she did okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't really... There was no issues around her. But at the same time, she's not important enough of a role that we would expect to see her come back necessarily in season three. I think it would be odd if Bo-Katan never come back, for example, but it's not that odd if Casca Reeves wouldn't be with her either. But who knows? I mean, it could have been something as easy as they said, do you want to come back, but the part won't be any bigger, it'll just be the same thing and we're only going to offer you the same money, and she might have turned around and went, I want more money and more to do, and they went, nah, no thanks. I mean, you never find out these things. All you know is she's not coming back. And at the point they are of getting everything together, this would all have been done quite some time ago before they ever got to shooting. So,
yeah,
you know, you just never know.
No. But I don't think anyone said never again. So who knows, right?
Yeah. We'll see. Plus, she could just be lying, but I don't think so. But she did lie, as most of them do, about being in season two. And then after she'd been in it, she said she wasn't in any more episodes than she was for the finale. But that was more about keeping a secret that I don't think is there to be kept anymore. So there would be no reason to play coy about being in season three, because Giancarlo Esposito and Carl Weathers, you know, they've just come out and said, yeah, we're back for season three. Of course we are.
Weathers, hey, I'm shooting today, by the way. I guess we could go ahead and carry on to the next story, which is dealing with shooting schedules. Fun stuff, guys, but kind of important and something that I think is funny given the context of Disney moving a bunch of Marvel stuff around and whatnot. We should mention that there's potential not miscommunicate, but potential unknowns in some of this, because you've got a bunch of well-known people discussing pieces of a pie. But let's go over a few things that we know for certain.
Maybe because I've had a conversation with sort of Bespin Bulletin as well recently, so maybe kind of break this down a little bit. So all of this begins initially actually with discussing film who had actually said that the Acolyte was going to be shooting in February in Pinewood Studios in London. Okay. And then I didn't pick that up at the time. What I picked up was a conversation between Jordan Mason and Bespin Bulletin on Twitter, which I'll just kind of go over just now, and then I'll talk everybody through the kind of process for this. So Jordan had said last he had heard was early 2022 for Rogue Squadron filming, since pretty much everyone else has given themselves longer production leads times these days. And he said Acolyte should be filming around then too. Then Bespin Bulletin replied, Acolyte is February at Pinewood, London. So they weren't, it wasn't their exclusive, but they had heard that, you know, when I spoke to Bespin Bulletin, that's something they had heard from the source. But that was, it wasn't just brand new news. That was something they had heard. I'm not going to go into exact details because we want to protect all our sources here. But a few weeks ago, prior to this, now, maybe that was the case, and but when we ran that story, one of our most trusted sources then got in contact with us to say, hey, actually, Acolyte is not filming at Pinewood, at least not within that time scale, because this person knows all the things that are kind of booked in at the moment. That's as far as I'll put it. And that's just not on the schedule at the moment for Pinewood, with, at least within that time scale. So, I obviously do trust this source. To give you an idea, that this is the same source that told us when everybody was saying that the working title of Ant-Man, it seems daft, working titles, who cares, but everybody was saying the working title of Ant-Man was Goat Rodeo. And we ran it. Everybody ran it and said that's what it was. And I was like, what the hell does that mean anyway? Because sometimes it doesn't mean anything. And again, our source of contacting is then to say, actually, I saw you run that story. That's not the case. Goat Rodeo is actually the working title of Captain Marvel 2 at the time. We didn't know it was called The Marvels. And it turned out that was true, you know, and we kind of went against everybody, and we don't normally cover Marvel stuff. So it's a little bit, you know, so this source who, you know, I certainly have more information and has given us more stuff than that, but I don't want to get into exactly what each source gives us. Put it this way, it's someone that I trust and that they would know this information. So we ran a piece just saying, well, actually, as far as we've been told, we don't have any other information, like it's now shooting there, it's now shooting at this time. We don't know. All we know is it doesn't seem to be scheduled in for Pinewood in London in February. But then, as myself and the people at Bespin Bulletin were kind of talking about online, something's kind of got to give in terms of they can't shoot everything in LA either, because if we look at all the things that they've got coming up, so we've obviously Mandalorian Season 3 shooting at the moment. We've got Ahsoka to shoot. We've got the Acolyte to shoot. Potentially an Andor Season 2 is kind of that may be a bit further out, and we don't know exactly about that, but kind of seems to be the information that's out there at the moment. And we also have movies to shoot as well, because we have Rogue Squadron. Then after Tychus. Rogue Squadron's finished, we then move into Tychus, and then theoretically Feige's after. Now we don't know exactly, you know, the order of Feige and Tychus, because that could all shift around. I don't know, but we know Rogue Squadron's first. That's one thing we do know, because it's just much, much further along.
Scarily.
So, as I was talking to the guys at Bespin Bulletin, we were kind of saying, you know, something's going to have to shoot at Pinewood eventually. They can't all be fit in at the other end of things. So I don't know is the honest answer. We really don't have any more information. My guess is that there is a lot of things changing quite rapidly in terms of, and again, Bespin Bulletin, they agree with this as well, that there's a lot of change, and that we're maybe only finding things out a little bit after the fact at the moment, and after decisions have already been made. So I have no doubt that at one point, Acolyte was supposed to film in Pinewood in February, and that these stories were genuine. But it seems as if that's now changed. What it's been changed to, I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see if ourselves or, you know, one of the other good insiders out there at the moment picks up some newer information that we can add to that. But it feels as if that's about the right time zone for these things. But we just don't know, because is it ahead or is it behind of Ahsoka? When's Ahsoka going to shoot? They're not going to run it straight after Mandalorian Season 3. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought so, but it, I'm guessing it's going to be using that studio, though, at some point. The only thing we've certainly heard, and Shoki brought it up on one of our episodes previously, was that he had heard Lucasfilm wasn't quite getting to make Ahsoka as quick as they once had hoped. That's it. I mean, you can take from that whatever you want. I don't know what that actually means, because we didn't get any more detail at the time. So it's all a bit up in the air. There's nothing solid at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that a lot of this is COVID restrictions, things like that, that, you know, getting the actors into the right places with the right quarantine measures.
Thing pushing
off. And, you know, where you film is potentially important to that. So if the majority of your cast is here, there, whatever. I think personally, and I've got nothing to base this on, this is just a guess, but I think that's why The Lord of the Rings moved back to the UK for season two. Mm. Whereas because the New Zealand government were giving them some amount of money, which they won't get from the British government. Right. And that's why they picked to go there in the first place. So to me, it's the fact that the vast majority of their cast are British, that it just, in this current climate, it just doesn't make sense to be filming things over there. That's my feeling at the moment, and maybe that's why these things are changing early.
I mean,
one of the things we had heard is that at one point, Obi-Wan was supposed to be doing something in London, right?
Mm-hmm.
We heard that, we talked about it, and then nothing seemed to happen in London, and it all went to LA. Baseman Bulletin had heard something, again, I'm not going to give you any details exactly what we talk about, but, you know, they'd heard something similar to that as well, and it was strange that we had both heard the same thing, and yet we could see that it actually filmed in LA. There doesn't seem to have been, that we can tell for certain, any filming that actually happened in London for it. So things do seem to be shifting about to wherever there's space at the moment. So theoretically, this could change again,
I mean,
to be perfectly honest.
You can
and you have to fit in with all the Marvel stuff as well.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to. so I have it up on the screen for a bit. The whole Disney's Marvel slate after 21 got pushed to the right, and yeah,
but only the movies as far
only
as
the
know.
Movies as far as we know, and then in Indiana Jones got pushed for what, to 10 months,
a whole lot,
11
yeah,
months?
Yeah. It's basically a year late,
almost a year. Yep, it's obvious that it's connected to the virus, and yeah, you can see where
that's
Delta.
Not what they're telling us officially, but officially it's all production stuff. But right. I think it's two sides of things. It's the production's harder to get right now, and there's more risks, and also there's just not as much money to be made now.
That's what I'm gonna kind of get around to it. So you've got these movies that it costs more to do because of everything related to the virus that you brought up, from travel to quarantine to logistics now. But then there's the other side of that, which is people in the domestic market in the United States are not going to the fucking movie theaters, regardless of whether or not they like the movies. People seem very, very happy with things like Shang-Chi and things like Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Hell, but believe it or not, even though the numbers themselves were dreary, the percentages for James Bond were actually better than both of the previous movies I just mentioned, Shang-Chi and Let There Be Carnage. But the raw numbers themselves are what matter. And here's the simple fact. A lot of people for various reasons say, I'm willing to wait. Whether it's waiting at 90 days for it to hit streaming or just watching it day and date and waiting to see it on the big screen, maybe later, you know? And with Star Wars, they've got a lot of room because unlike Marvel, they don't have these stories already in place moving. They don't have to fit within a as tight of a schedule. So why not play with your productions? So I agree with you and Bespin Bulletin's discussion that just like all the conversations about when what show wrapped. It's like it's so fluid now, and the amount of information just the simple fact that it's like, hey guys, we forgot this scene or so something messed up. Fire up the volume, load up that mountain range. I mean, it's so cool how easy that is. But yeah, it's all connected. Like I get that the reasons people aren't going to theaters range from valid generally to you're just cheap, lazy fuck. Go. Like people
one thing we do know is that there are a lot of Marvel shows mm-hmm. booked into Pinewood Studios. All right. Yeah. I'm not gonna list all the ones that are.
Can't.
But but there are at the moment. And that doesn't really leave any room for Star Wars. So it's mm-hmm. possible that the Marvel stuff's just maybe somehow from a Disney point of view took a higher priority, maybe because of the delay in the movies. I don't know. This is guesswork on my part.
Things are changing
literally in a very short space of time, as you said.
Whether people want to admit it or not, here's the simple math. If 1 million people go see a movie in theaters and pay $10 a piece, that movie will make more money than 10 million subscribers to Disney Plus watching that movie. That's just the way it is. 100 million subscribers for a movie doesn't pay the budget like 100 million people worldwide.
Remember,
going
the
and seeing
most
the movie.
Of the ticket monies.
They still the split is still bigger than pennies per subscription.
Oh, yeah.
Per one, because people might be thinking, oh, it's 120 million, but it all goes into one pool. Then it's different. It's not as easily divisible, and then you've got to add in the piracy issue, because as soon as it's day and date, it's HQ quality. And
yeah, I mean, you just can't.
Like I
people
said,
are too good.
It is,
they can take any Netflix,
exactly.
Disney, anything, and they can get that in 4K so, and put it on there.
It's a much bigger and broader issue than people really want to admit or look at, and it's because it's boring stuff, but it's the type of things that I get into, and I wrote a good piece on it. Everyone at LRM online.
Ultimately, it's what turns the business around. It's mm-hmm. what it's all built for. They're not there to make us happy. Ultimately, they want us to be happy because if we're happy, we spend our money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of the movie industry. Yes, we get well. In order to make people happy, they've learned sometimes you need to let artists shine and do their creative things. But ultimately, no one puts up money for a film unless they think they're going to make money back off it.
Nope.
That's the point.
And why would you? And you know, we might be getting some content still, but it's going to be less expensive, smaller projects. And that brings up a whole another issue, because now you're talking about jobs and money spent on location. And hell, the volume is removing the need for a lot of location shooting. So you mentioned New Zealand lost.
Because it depends on the director, on what they want to do, doesn't it?
But you know the studios are going to start telling the director to fuck off. You're filming in the volume because it saves money.
Exactly. We can't do location shooting. So it could be one director in the future getting a job over another. You know, for example, Chloe Zhao on Eternals. You know, she wants all location shot. It's supposed to be really beautiful looking. It does look good from the trailers. I haven't seen the movie yet. But, you know, what if in 5 years' time, despite her having the best pitch and blowing Kevin Feige's socks off, he looks at the money and goes, actually, we can't afford to do that for Eternals, so we'll pick director B, who's happy to do it all in the volume. You know, I'm not saying that would happen, that Kevin Feige's not smart enough to let that happen, but you get the idea. It's an extreme example of Kel's point, I think.
It's very, very possible, and like I said, when you start looking away from the micro to the macro economics of it all to be stereotypical business guy, there's a lot to it that will make you just go, holy crap. And really, I'm not saying, I never said go support movies you don't want to watch. I'm saying please support the movies you want. Please support them, financially support them. Because if you don't financially support the things that you do want,
they may not.
We're not going to get it anymore. We're going to lose influence to foreign markets. And I go into,
I guess right now there's a lot of people that are just, you know, they hear what you're saying and they want to, but maybe they're too scared at the moment to take risks.
There's a lot of things to go into it. That's why we Manny and I always beating the drum of consume. We always say, you know, of course, responsibly and legally following rules and all of that, you know?
And if people do, which the majority of people are double vaccinated at the moment, you know, if you know are going to a cinema these days, you're not going to be sitting right next to other people, you know. Yeah, you may take longer to find a showing that you want or something, because you got less people in per showing. But, you know, I've been to the cinema since the whole kind of COVID thing, and I definitely felt sort of completely safe going in. I haven't yet gone to see Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, unfortunately, and I think I'm getting to the point now where I'm as well just waiting until it comes up, because it's November 12th it's coming on to Disney Plus. So I just think at this moment now, and I've actually amazingly managed to avoid too many spoilers for it. Nothing more that I knew before the movie come out, put it that way.
Yeah, not too much to spoil. It's a good fun movie. Almost as fun as doing ads with our sponsors, Grow Generation, but that's definitely more fun. So we're going to hear from them, and Cam and I will talk to you guys on the other side. Take it away, guys.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation offers the best deals and discounts on the best grow products on the market. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com. where the pros go to grow.
And thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode. We really, really do appreciate it. It's a big topic, and I'm happy that Manny's going to be coming back in the future to the Daily Cog to talk about big subjects like that, because it is a passion of mine, because it blends two things that I love dearly: movies and entertainment and money. I went to business school because this type of stuff interests me, and I wanted to get into doing business management. And I'm not saying that makes me know know things. I'm saying it's like an actual interest. Like I get passionate about it because I can see bigger things, like how smaller productions affect a location that was used to that, say, TV show shooting there with a 250 person crew for 4 months every year. And that now it's going to be 3 months with 130 person crew. That affects things. That affects the workers there, the money being spent there, seasonal hot. And then the people that aren't on the crew for that season. Like I said, we are all so connected to entertainment. It's scary. The simple fact that movies, you know, for decades now haven't been made in Hollywood. Like back when it was just Hollywood, it didn't really affect them. But the simple fact is today, between our own mental well-being from being able to escape and enjoy a movie, to the legitimate pockets, like the money in our pockets, are affected by a fucking movie schedule, man, and a budget. Think about that. That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's how much we let it happen. I mean, at the end of the day, we can't find other ways to entertain ourselves. There was so many movies, but you know, people are in love with these franchises for a reason.
Yeah, and you know, I think I would like to kind of stick with the theme of Marvel and Star Wars that has been blending so beautifully, and kind of talk about the Chloe Zhao says she would direct Feige's Star Wars movie if asked. She says she was speaking to the playlist, and they asked her directly about doing a Star Wars movie. She said, I'll do anything Kevin asked me to do, and then laughed about it. I know a lot of people are, you know, iffy on the Eternals. There's one thing I have said since the first trailer. It looks like, aesthetically, it looks good. It looks very pretty. I love the color palette. I really enjoy looking at it. I have no idea if I'm going to enjoy. I think it's going to be passable.
I hope I will.
Yeah. But what do you think about this?
I have high hopes for it. I think I suppose it might depend on your style of film and what you're looking for, but I kind of hope that there's just a little bit, Eternals might just be a little bit more cerebral than your average Marvel movie, and I'm fine with that. I'm actually, you know, something a little bit different than just sort of balls to the wall action, because we get that in spades. So I'm definitely interested to see, but I'm certainly not, and I said this in the article that I wrote, that I'm not going to get excited about Chloe Zhao until I've seen Eternals, and if I love Eternals, I'll then get excited about Chloe Zhao doing Star Wars. Not to say she is doing Star Wars, however, if we add this quote to the one previously where she was like, oh, Star Wars, I can't say too much about that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And at the point you and I theorized, you know, we said, could it be that, you know, what she, first of all, could she be doing a Star Wars project? Could it be something on, you know, Disney Plus? Or, and I remember saying, could it be that she's the director of Kevin Feige's Star Wars movie? And then she's asked the question almost directly, and she mentions, you know, because the question wasn't, would you direct Kevin Feige's Star Wars movie? It was basically worded as, Feige loves you. You said you love Star Wars, would you do Star Wars? And she'd said, basically, I would do anything Kevin asked me to do. And we know that the Kevin Feige movie has a writer. It already has a producer, because Kevin Feige himself is the producer. What they don't have is a director. And it just kind of makes sense that she wouldn't, if she's in talks or she's even signed on, but they don't want to say anything at the moment. There's a variety of different situations for him. But if I was a betting man, which I'm not normally, you are, that's who my money would be on potentially for for the director of Kevin Feige's Star Wars movie, which I believe, just a guess, still quite a few years away from yet.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a real potential. When they said Feige and Taika's names together under this same non-Marvel house, everyone thought they would be together. Yeah. I was like, nah, but back then it was like, I could draw the same conclusion, but I don't necessarily want that.
They do seem to be very different films, because we know that film is being written by Taika Waititi, mm-hmm. and I forget that there's a female writer he's got with him on it. I forget her name.
Was it the Russian doll lady, or is she the one doing acting?
No, that's who's doing athlete, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Remember. Anyway, sorry, apologies. It's not, you know, because Michael Waldron is writing Kevin Feige's Star Wars movie, so they are two distinct mm-hmm. properties.
And with that, I started thinking about other Marvel people that he could have brought with him that I would have potentially liked to have seen. And the only name that I kept coming back to is a cheat. And it's a big cheat, but I was just so thoroughly impressed with Peyton Reed on Mando. And I love both Ant-Man and the Ant-Man and the Wasp movie. Like, I legitimately enjoyed Ant-Man 1 when it first came out, even. So,
Ant-Man movies, so. But I didn't think Ant-Man and the Wasp was a very good movie.
I liked it, man. I do. I don't know
buying average.
Why? But I did.
It was more script than direction, though, I would say. I just felt the script wasn't strong enough. I don't know. Peyton Reed has directed one episode of a show. I don't know if that means he's necessarily he's right for Star Wars.
No, he did too. He did the finale and the Ice Spider, wasn't it?
So he did,
yeah. Just like
I was just thinking the finale, but I forgot he did Ice Spiders. As well.
Yeah.
Both were good. I know Taika Waititi only did one episode as well, which was the finale of season one. So you could, but I think when you look at something like Ragnarok, though, you know, you can see why he's right. I think you can see why he'd be good in playing in the Star Wars sandbox.
Oh yeah.
Plus, you know, he's just Oscar winning and everything now, and everybody loves him. But yeah, I mean, Chloe Zhao, another Oscar winning director. Mm-hmm.
No, nothing against her. I just hadn't seen a Marvel movie from her yet.
You have to see Eternals and judge that before mm-hmm. you can. I mean, she's only made a couple other things in it, and it's not anywhere near this wheelhouse whatsoever. Very small, low budget things. So, I mean, we'll see how Eternals goes, but. I mean, what we do hear is that Marvel seems to be very happy with Eternals, so that maybe puts you into Kevin Feige's in the way he's thinking. Yeah, she's the one for Star Wars.
If you could pick a fan team up for the
Russos?
Feige movie, who would you Russos? Let him? Russos?
Yeah, see, I mean, they love Star Wars. You know, when I hear them talk about Star Wars, I think Abrams, you guys have the same opinions on that I do on Star Wars.
Abrams claimed to be a big fan too, so
yeah,
he talked it. He talked it before 2015.
I've never liked anything J.J. Abrams has done. What the Russos have done.
You and I both did say that his Star Trek, the first one, what was a good Star Wars movie?
No, I don't know.
Or was that night? That might have been me and Mike then.
Maybe you and Nick or something like that. Because
Star Trek is more Star Wars than Trek. And it was better than Force Awakens in retrospect.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, The Force Awakens is actually one of the movies that I don't mind so much from JJ because it has some cool moments in it that I like. But now with the baggage that comes to it, when I look at the way he put it together and the way he finished it off, I'm not a fan. I never have been a fan of JJ Abrams ever since I first watched Alias, and every season they would just reset it back to square one and start the same story again. And I thought, this is getting lazy every season, and ever since then I've had a bit of a grudge against them.
Did you see Cherry or whatever with the Russos?
No, I haven't seen that yet. No.
See, it's just like, it's like, yeah, you know, maybe get the Russos on a show, but the movie, I don't know.
Well, they're movie directors. I mean, they've directed three of the biggest. Yeah.
I know, but Star Wars is...
And they were all good. All their Marvel movies were good. Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
I don't deny it. I love it.
By some, as potentially the best Marvel movie ever made, depending on your opinions.
Top three Civil or four, for a good sure. Movie. 100%. Love it.
Endgame.
Mainline it. All day. I'm not knocking them at all.
I want to see them do Star Wars at some point. That's all I'm saying, because I think they're cool off.
I think their style, like this, Russo's doing a Rogue Squadron series all fucking day. Yes, hour long episodes. I'm 100% there. If you said the Russo's doing something Jedi and Sith, potentially. In movie
I think they're too format. Big for all that now. If I was getting the Russos in, I would be giving them a full trilogy to themselves or something like that, or four movies, however much they wanted.
Can they produce it?
I don't know why I'm hesitant.
Like, I don't get it.
Give them the checkbook and say, on you go, guys. I would.
There's just like
I think they've proved they've made Disney so much money. You know, not maybe just it's them, just... you know, working with Kevin Feige as well, but with the right producers helping them along, with the writing partners that they always work with, Agbo, Marcus and McFeely, I would give them the keys to a trilogy or six movies. I would care. So you want to play in the Star Wars sandbox? Here's a checkbook.
I guess maybe it's that last movie with Hall and Cherry that is left.
Did you not like it?
No, it was not. Not only was it just a
very different
No, it wasn't that it was different. I didn't mind that. It was a stereotypical take on a stereotypical story that's already been done like five times in big Hollywood.
And you did say it was like a personal story to them because it was based in the area and stuff
that's fine.
I think it was a little bit of a passion project.
And that's fine. I'm just giving my take on it. And because of that, and I didn't say that it was bad. I was just saying it's something I've already seen many times. Some that might not be like, oh, so you said I was in the military. I have PTSD. I had friends that turned to drugs and alcohol and suicide. So I know both from the Hollywood side and real life. And I don't mind people tackling the subject. I'm glad people
maybe
do.
That's maybe but it's it was just your was, personal like experience that.
Well, it was just like I said.
Makes you too harsh on it.
No, it was. It's already been done. So to me, it was just, I've seen it. It was boring. And I'm saying that might be affecting because I can't put everything you say screams, let them do Star Wars. But there's something in the back of my mind just screaming no. And I'm wondering if the fact that movie bored me, mostly because it's, like I said, just retreaded territory. I don't know.
What you said before you'd watched that.
I think maybe we even did say that. I don't know.
But if you're putting them, I think they know how to make a blockbuster movie. They know how to pull the emotions. They know how to build up to something. That's why I'd give them a longer story, because I think they could do their own trilogy and
it makes sense, a
beginning, a middle, and an end that blows people away by the time you get to see the third one. I think they could actually do something like that.
Oh yeah.
And I think eventually Star Wars needs to move to that event movie, because as much as a single movie on its own, I don't think I'll ever be an event movie. So I don't think Rogue Squadron's an event movie. Unless we hear otherwise, I don't think Taika's movie's an event movie, unless it's secretly the movie that ties up the Mandoverse or something like that. Then it would have hype behind it.
Is there...
Kevin Feige's will be hyped more because it's Kevin Feige. But they all seem to be single, standalone, you know, movies as far as we know at the moment. And that's fine, but they're not... That doesn't make them event movies, does it?
I want to go down that road for a second. Can the idea of an event movie and what do you think the possibility of a direct Disney Plus Star Wars movie is? Do you think that is a possibility ever? Or conclusion in the near future?
As long as they're not spending theater money on it, you don't have to do that necessarily. Actually, theoretically, a movie, let's say that a 3-hour movie that wrapped up the Mandoverse, for example, shouldn't really cost any more to make than a sort of one season of a show. You've got less runtime, so you can up the budget a little bit because it's a movie. They could pull that off easily, I think.
But do you think they will?
For a reasonable budget.
Do you think it'll actually happen? Not that it can, but will it?
I think it's more likely we would get a climactic series rather than a climactic film, would be my guess.
Okay. And then the other idea of that, what about the theatrical movie to tie up the Mandalorian story? What do you think about that? Do you ever foresee them carrying from small screen to big in a meaningful way like that, or just we'll bring some characters
They could do it because, you know, the Star Wars fan base, majority of them are going to be watching the stuff on Disney Plus. In fact, Mando's currently more popular than the sequel trilogy was in my mind. We don't have hard numbers to back that up, but that's, you know, look at the toy sales, look at the merch. You know, Mando's more popular than the sequel trilogy, whereas people like Din Djarin more than they liked Oscar Isaac's Poe Dameron. Pick somebody, you know, that might be a kind of a match, if you like. I wouldn't say necessarily Rey, because sometimes the Jedi's just get that little bit more from people.
She's with Rey. She was fine character that just got a shitty fucking story because no one wanted to fucking plan anything. They just wanted to rush.
Again, I'll agree with that. But if this is a show that we're talking about that stars, or a movie that we starred in Din Djarin, Bo-Katan, Ahsoka, Ezra Bridger, Thrawn, you know, that is big enough to do that. That's an event movie, and you haven't had to build up to it because you've built up to it on Disney Plus. Absolutely, that's possible. Absolutely. I'm not saying that's necessarily what they're going to do, but is it possible? 100%, and people will go to theater to see that.
I'll say something odd about, or something that I find odd, I should say. I always say things that are odd. I've freaking brain dead. Something I've been finding odd is how disconnected the Marvel shows feel from the movies right now, and I know obviously why, but even though we've been seeing characters that we saw in movies two years ago, they feel disconnected, and it's going to be a minute now, May, before we actually see someone heavily involved with movies then their show, WandaVision, and then movie again.
And there's rumors Loki is in Doctor Strange, potentially. Multiverse of Madness as well.
So I'm wondering if that's going to feel different, because right now, Star Wars shows, the two Mando seasons, do feel different than the movies, than the sequel trilogy, even. They don't necessarily feel like TV. They feel like a streaming thing. So I'm kind of wondering.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just the difference between writing a movie script with those characters.
I know, but you wouldn't
have to spend too much time necessarily on you know, here's who all these characters are. I know, because you've never watched the Disney Plus show. I think you'd have to do it without doing that. But I mean, it's probably more of a risk to do it. So they're more likely to do a series where they can actually spend the time to really kind of go through all these characters and give them a proper sort of conclusion and everything.
It would be it already feels weird, because like I said, we consume these things from the get-go on TV. And so whether we assign it a different quality tier or not consciously, I almost feel like I might be doing it subconsciously, where it's like, you're a TV show. You don't look like a movie. You can't be on the screen. I don't know.
I think
it's just
that might be
an odd. I'm excited to see.
Then he is, because maybe that was the key to how it worked. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot. Once you were a movie actor, for example, you didn't go back to TV. If you went back to TV, it was because you'd failed in the movie theaters. And I remember Keith Sutherland talking about that when he first did 24, and it was like, why is a movie actor doing a TV show? It was big at the time, and it helped sort of elevate that show and people's expectations. And it was above normal TV expectations. I mean, now it's not so much when you look back at it, but for the time it was. And then slowly but surely, we obviously get into the streaming world. And actually, I mean, arguably, I would say over the last 5 years, the best entertainment that has come outside of the MCU, has been streaming stuff, actual shows, rather than movies. I think it allows you to do far more for high budget that you just couldn't have done in a movie theatre, or at least reasonable budget, shall we say. Game of Thrones, you know, proved that. Okay, it had an absolutely shit rushed ending, but you know, fair enough, it was a cultural phenomenon up to that point. And we'll look at some of the big shows that all the big networks are planning, and you know, Marvel and Star Wars, they are Disney's ace in the holes when it comes to that, so they want to keep that content going, but they also want to do the box office thing as well. So you're probably right that there is a subconscious part of us that does some like grade TV lore somehow.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Feel as a story junkie, if you like, that I get my fix better off a show now than I do in a movie theater.
For a lot of things, for sure. I've told Christine before we wrap it up here, there are some things though that I can't take in long show format, and horror is one of those. There are very, very few horror series that I like.
Not my thing either.
Yeah, but you want to have. I love horror movies. Hour and a half, two hours.
You have to be in the mood, right, for horror. Like, you know, if you're in the mood for a horror film.
Anytime, just about.
Me, I'm not a big horror fan, but if I'm in the mood for a horror film, yeah, it's a couple of hours and you're out. And usually horror films aren't that long anyway.
Well, it's because suspense, as much as we love it, and as much as I love to actually get scared, which rarely happens, suspense does build even without a actual fear. That's how good stories work. And it's too much for me for a show. Not like it's just like,
especially if you're
the
trying
payoff
to
is not enough
each other
exactly
well.
maybe
you watched it once a week
but the worst part is generally because it's so much suspense for so long with just these little bits of release throughout to go through the whole show. When you finally get to the end, it's just not worth it. I hope that it all turns out well. I hope that we get the entertainment that we want. I can see a lot of projects going to streaming series away from movies because that's cheaper, and that Netflix method of taking something 10 episodes and splitting it into 2 5 episode chunks look to potentially see that on streaming more in the future. Isn't Amazon Prime about ready to do that with some big thing coming up? Split it or something?
No, I think what maybe you're talking about is for Wheel of Time, they're opening the first 3 episodes on release day. You get 3 episodes, and then it's going to weekly, maybe, which is a kind of hybrid between binge and weekly, yeah. You know, which I think is we talked about that in a previous week on Cantina. I think that's a good idea, sometimes getting a chunk. And of course, we're getting 2 episodes on Hawkeye when it comes out, so, you know, I'm sure that more companies will start experimenting with things like that. But yeah, Netflix have been doing this where they kind of have half it. I don't get that. Why not just call it season 1, but season 1's only 5 episodes. Season 2's, you know, I just think Netflix sometimes make it more complicated than it's just has to be.
Spread
they're the trying
content
something
out
new all the time. And, you know, they don't seem to ever make their mind up on what they're going to stick to.
Yeah. Anyway,
and they
always
do binge. So.
for now, I bet you that Stranger Things isn't going to be bingeable. I bet it'll be split if it's not already said to be split.
So? They've never done it before, have they? Netflix, where you have to go back week to week. So
we'll see. We'll see.
If they decide to copy everyone else.
I think the splitting is them trying to prevent week to week, but they saw how beneficial it is for the news cycle to talk about you every week. Because after,
but then you need to structure your show like that. You need to structure your show knowing that the audience aren't going to see it all in one go. A lot of Netflix shows were built on the fact that you could have slower periods in the middle because they were set for binging, and you would keep watching to find out what happened next.
Yeah.
So you have to go into it, I think, knowing what you're going to do before you make the show rather than decide to change it after the fact.
But I like I said, I think the splitting is to help them get things back into the spotlight in between, and without doing the weekly thing, because like you said, you pointed out one good reason being the structures of the shows, and I think some of these studios should start looking at flexible, like if it serves the story to release 2 episodes this week, release 2 episodes this week. Anyways, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there, Cam. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. Please do follow us on whatever podcast app you're listening to, the Genreverse Podcast Network. And of course, please subscribe to the LRM YouTube channel. Give us thumbs up, down. I'll take the hate clicks. Just if we're doing something wrong, let us know so we can do a bit better. Because basically, for now, all we do is just talk and record it. So if something better we could do, please let us know. And of course, check out LRMonline.com every day for all your entertainment news needs and opinions, as well as genreverse.com. Start using that page is coming in the future. Cam, anything you want to say specifically? But
no.
Dropping my notepad. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening this week. We'll talk to you next time. May the force be with you.